I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Everybody to take a seat, please.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now. Spencer.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I got another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from A.A. Grapevine. A drunk stumbles up to the only other patron in a bar and asks if he can buy him a drink. Why, of course, the guy replies. Drunk one says, "Where are you from?" Drunk two replies, "I'm from Ireland." Drunk one, "Hey, I'm from Ireland too. Let's have another round to Ireland." With a curious look, he asks, "Where in Ireland?" Drunk two says, "Why, Dublin." Drunk one says, "I can't believe it, me too. Let's have a round for Dublin." Drunk two, "Of course. Hey, what school did you go to?" Drunk one, "St. Mary's, I graduated in 62. Then both drunks yell in unison, "Me too, this is unbelievable." About that time, one of the regulars strolls in and sits down at the bar. "What's up?" he asked the bartender. He said, "Oh, nothing much. The O'Malley twins are drunk again."
Thank you, Spencer. Good one. Hey, I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Guy. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation, so please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that will make noise or might distract somebody else. Take the time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away. And ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready for that meditation? Let's get going. Would you join me in the fog light prayer? God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find your love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact of every one of us that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out in which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer. And I've asked Christiana to read from Appendix 2, The Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one. So it's kind of important to know what one is.
Spiritual experience. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Before we get to the speaker, we got a little business. I have the secretary's report, please.
Hey, Spencer, alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. We also have QR codes on the back of the chairs. In case you don't have any cash, I have asked Michael to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in AA identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. Please help me welcome Michael.
Hey guys, I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured from alcoholism, recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime, but we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in the mind rather than in the body, page 23. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you. Thank you. 1940-style Big Book sponsorship from Forward to Second Edition, Alcoholics Anonymous of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25% sobered up after some relapses. And among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What you've seen, felt, came to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. If anyone is looking for a sponsor, please stand. Cool. Oh, we got one? Oh, there we go. Woo! And if you were too shy to stand, please go by the piano and someone will come by and, you know, help you out. Can all the recovered alcoholics please raise your hand? All right. If your hand's not raised, we suggest that you hang out with those who were. And we don't have any screen announcements, but we do have... Oh, we do have screen announcements. Look at that. And that's Intergroup, where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup also is responsible for creating the where and when and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Broward County Institutions Committee is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to AA meetings, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize their meeting schedule at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of BCIC here tonight? All right, we got Norm and JR. And another one. We got more. Thomas. And Thomas. All right, cool. Stop by and see them if you have any questions about BCIC. And then here are some upcoming service opportunities. AA's got talent, apparently. Call Intergroup for more info. The 2025 Appreciation Banquet. Save the date. Sunday, April 27th. What exciting news that is. And then starting next week, we got Tom M. from January 2nd to February 6th. He's coming all the way from Arizona, so he should be walking right now. Next. Of course, our Monday night Big Book study, where the Big Book comes alive. You can join us at 6:30 and for fellowship, and the workshop starts at 7:15. We have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, and little red books, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday starting promptly at 7:15. We ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the Road to Recovery tune. That's a lot of R's. And enjoy tonight's workshop. I'll be back next week. All right.
Thank you.
That Spencer's got talent, huh? Huh? All right, so please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so you can turn your phones off. No texting. It disturbs people. And we got Stevie B for session number 6. Every one of them has been spectacular, so please give Stevie B a warm welcome.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Member of the Golden Text Group of Hollywood, Florida. And it's great to be here with you guys tonight. And I want to thank this group for inviting me to speak here the last 6 weeks. And it's been an honor. It's been a privilege. It's been a blessing. And it's been a blessing to have my mom here with me the entire time. And Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah and Happy Holidays to everybody. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Step 11, by the way, I gave a lot of opinions during the, I gave some opinions over the last 5 weeks, but let's stick to the book. Okay, let's stick to the book tonight because the book is perfect in every way, especially in step 11 and step 12. Because it just has so much between the 12 and 12 and the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. There's so much information and there's so much meat in here that we're going to do some reading tonight. And I know it's going to seem like it's going to be kind of boring, but it's not going to be boring. Okay, Joe, so you're going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry it out. So we're gonna break down step 11, then we're going to get right into step 12. I definitely wish I had some more weeks here with you guys, but Tom is incredible. He's coming in from Arizona. He's got great energy. You're going to love him. He's going to probably wear a hat and all these things. He's just a great guy. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve. We're going to break down that word improve for a second. The first 10 steps got us to this place where we not only hopefully are having a relationship with God, but we want to improve that relationship. And this step is a step where we can do it every day, regardless of where you're at in your recovery. We can look to improve our relationship with God. The first couple of weeks we were here, we spoke about this window and the window having garbage in front of the window and the sunlight of God not being able to shine through until we removed that garbage that was in front of the window. By now, the window is at least clear for today. We've had step 3, we've had step 4 and 5, 6 and 7, asking God to remove the defects, humbly knowing that we can't do it. We make a list of the persons we've harmed. Step 9, we went back and made a list. We've made amends to those people that we harmed. Step 10 is the ongoing a part of the step where we're Windexing currently. We don't have to let it build up too much on the window. We got the Windex out. We did something today. We promptly start cleaning it. We did something yesterday. We promptly started cleaning it. And the sunlight should be shining through the window as we speak. But there's more work to be done because we're looking to always constantly improve our conscious contact with God. And how do we improve it? Through prayer and meditation. The big book tells us through prayer and meditation. So speaking to God and then hopefully listening to God. And hopefully you're going to be at this point, at least I know I am on some days, on any given moment of the day. Hopefully we're at this point where we want to have a deeper personal relationship with God because we're starting to feel the effects of not having this angst in us all the time. And the closer we get to God, the further we are away from ourselves. I don't know about you, but this holiday, this Christmas time for me, even though I grew up in the beginning of my life with Hanukkah and Christmas, now we celebrate Christmas. My dad, may God rest his soul, is in heaven, and we celebrated Christmas. But Christmas for me, even though I came from incredibly loving parents, the best parents, my mom's here, my dad went home to be heaven a couple years ago, they were the best. And we had trees, and we had gifts, and we had love during Christmas, and for me, I couldn't feel it. It was always an angst time for me. None of my family. Everybody loved Christmas. And it was a lot to love. Gifts and presents and church and midnight mass. And just everything was great. And I had this ball of anxiety in me every single time there was a gift given. Or I had things going on in my mind. I'm not enough. I didn't do enough work. Did I get the right gift? Is it... And everybody else was fine. I have something called alcoholism. And alcoholism doesn't manifest itself all the time with me. With alcohol, alcoholism manifests in a mental condition that produces an angst inside my system. And no matter how much my mom would tell me she loved me or my dad tell me she loved me, I didn't feel it. But when I took a drink, one drink, that went away. If I would have one drink during Christmas, which I did, I snuck a lot of drinks, even when I was a kid, I wouldn't get drunk, obviously, but I knew that if I snuck one drink, that would go away. Having a relationship with God does that for me. Having a relationship with God working these steps does that for me. I don't know if it does that for you, but it does it for me. That's why I want to seek to improve that. I'm a junkie of wanting to have more relationship with God. And so step 11, as I said, talks about prayer and meditation. And these are the principles, the principal means of conscious contact with God. And it gives us, in the big book on page 86, it gives us an outline on how to start for the day. I don't know about you, but I need direction. So the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I get on my knees and I pray. Okay? Before I go to the restroom or anything like that, I get on my knees and I pray. Like I roll out of bed and I get on my knees before I get in my own way. There's other prayers that are going to happen later on after the bathroom, but the pre-bathroom prayers are very important. It sets me for the moment. Okay? Because I've been around morning people. My mom's a morning person. She's an amazing morning person. She wakes up, singing, all that kind of stuff. That's not me. The first thing that comes into my mind in the morning before I remember that I'm a faith man of faith is the four-letter word that I have to get up. It's a four-letter word that comes. So the moment at 5:30 when that thing says to wake up, really it's 5 o'clock now, says to wake up, my first response is not, glory be God in the highest. That's not my first thing that comes to my mind. At 5 o'clock, the first thing that comes to my mind is, that word. And because that's the first word that came into my mind at 5:02, the thing that I do at 5:03 is get on my knees. And then it gives me instruction. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours a day ahead. We consider our plans for the day. I know my immediate plans are is to ask God to keep me clean and sober. That's my immediate plans. Now, I've heard other people say, they don't need to ask anymore. Everybody's going to do their program the way that they believe they're going to. Ask your sponsor what you should do. I ask every day God to keep me clean and sober, to give me the information that I need to help other people, and to send me to. And I ask him to keep me lust-free, and I ask him to keep me anger-free. And if I forget to ask him to keep me lust-free and anger-free, it's usually a disaster. And during the holidays, I ask him to keep me gluttonous-free, which has not worked, not even a little bit. So I stopped asking like after the 20th. What does that mean? There's people that say to me, I thought you were sugar-free. Like when I went to the center yesterday, I was eating cookies, and they said, I thought you were sugar-free. I said, that train has left the building. So we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity. I can get into the woe is me. Yesterday wasn't perfect. Last night wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't have the perfect amount of money in the bank. I'm not the perfect guy. I don't have the perfect things going on. I can get into self-pity like that because I have alcoholism, not alcoholism. I can start feeling like, well, I don't have that, and I don't have what Maddie has, and I don't have what that, I don't have what Jerry has. And then all of a sudden, I can start getting into alcoholism. So the first thing I do, I say to the Lord, Lord, keep me away from self-pity. Because anytime I judge myself with another human being, I could either be more than or less than, and either way, then I'm blocking out the sunlight of God. And then it says, under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. I do all this in the first 5 minutes of my day. Now, are there more readings that I do later on when I come back from the gym? Of course. I'm not getting into deep meditation before exercise. Right now I'm doing coffee, I'm doing stretching, I'm doing praying, I'm doing brushing my teeth, I shave before I go to the gym because I like to do that, and then I get an entry-level prayer in, go to the gym, come back at 6:30, now we get into some prayer and meditation. Get some books out, get the coffee pot, depending on what time my son wakes up, how much time I have to get him going into the right direction, which he's also not a morning person. So we have two non-morning person people in the same house, and I've already cast that aside. Doesn't matter what I am. I'm a child of God. I'm seeking through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Whatever I was at 5:03 in the morning is not what I am at 5:35 or 6:30 because I've put that aside. I've now placed my personal ideas aside so that I can seek through prayer and meditation to get closer to improve my conscious contact with God. Was it always like that? No. No, it wasn't always like that. I'm not a pure alcoholic, but I'm a real alcoholic. So I would always need some juice to get me up in the morning. Some different type of juices. Now the juice that I use is that close personal relationship and coffee. I definitely do still coffee, but the close personal relationship with God. And then we ask God for inspiration, because this is what's going to happen. First of all, you need to set aside time where you're not looking at your phone. I need to set aside time where I'm not looking at my phone. Because I can be pretending that I'm looking at the 24-hour day book, but I'm on Amazon in a nanosecond. All right? I can be in the 24-hour day book, and it's talking about how I need to practice my principles in all my affairs, and then I'm looking for a principle on Amazon, like in a nanosecond. So I got to put down the devices. I got to get right before God, and I need to start asking God to direct my thinking. And where is all this information? Did Stevie B come up with this? No, it's on page 86 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It says on awakening. And it tells us we're going to face indecision during the day. What does indecision mean? It means things we don't know what to do. Should we buy the place? Should we not? Should we date the person? Should we not? Should we go to the boss? Should we not? Should we do this? Should we not? Don't worry about it. We ask God for inspiration. And if you don't know what to do, you don't do it. Which I have made mistakes, a lot of mistakes in the past, and I just rush into what I want to do, and then I ask God to bless it. Which that's not what the Big Book says. It's not me rushing into what I wanted to do and then ask God to bless it. I was in Alcoholics Anonymous 3 years, not this sobriety, but my previous sobriety, and I thought that the most important thing for me was to date a girl with the stage name Diamond. I thought that was good for me. And I was kind of convinced that Diamond and I would have a good future together. So I didn't ask God about it. I didn't ask my sponsor about it. I just felt like in my heart that my mom would accept Diamond and everything would go well. Okay, which is one of our top three biggest fights in my whole 57 years of life is when I introduced my mom to Diamond. That was one of the worst fights. There was actually violence involved in that. So did I ask God if I should date a woman with a stage name? No, I didn't ask God if I should do that. I just did what I wanted to do and then hope that it worked out. And I've done that in other things. I've done that in business. I've done it in other things. And it never works out. But if I ask him beforehand, if I say, Lord, do you think I should date someone with a stage name? You know, like if I start off like that. And the answer is always no. Okay? No. You wait. It says here we ask for inspiration. And when we don't know what to do, we pause. And if you're like me, I don't like the pause. But I got to tell you something. God is in the pause. God is in the pause. God is not in the rushing. He's not in good. You get to the next thing. Life is not about getting to the next thing. God is in the pause. Now, I didn't know that, but I have incredible men and women around me that do incredible pausing, and I watch them. Because pausing is not, it doesn't come naturally to me. I'm not a natural pauser. And we don't struggle. We relax and take it easy. I didn't even know those words when I came in. Relax and take it easy. That's in between bumps, you relax and take it easy. I didn't even understand what that meant, relax and take it easy. We relax and take it easy, and we're often amazed how the right answer comes to us. You know, this week was a stress-free week for me. And if you looked around and what we did yesterday, my mom and Jerry and Maxine and a whole bunch of us, we served like 150 people, and it seemed like that would be very stressful. But there wasn't a moment of stress because it became so much not about presence, and it became so much more about the presence of God. And I was looking at my brother George yesterday, and we were on the line, and we were serving people, and he looked over at me, and he goes, come on, bro, you're the ministry leader here. You don't need to be serving. And I looked over at him. I said, this is exactly where I want to be. It was incredible. You know, making sure other people got to feel the presence and not the opening up the presence. I mean, this whole thing, this is all about a change of heart. When we get to the 11th step prayer, which we're going to do in a couple seconds, which is the prayer of St. Francis, the prayer of St. Francis is going to set a bar for us. You know, people are always saying to me, I'm having problems with this person. I'm having problems with this person. I say, well, where's your bar? Let me tell you where the bar is in Alcoholics Anonymous for us. This, and by the way, they didn't write this in the Big Book because in the beginning they didn't know the bar was that high. In the beginning, they knew the bar was, let's stay sober because alcoholics were dying, and we're going to write the first 164 pages of the big book, and it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be spirit-filled. But they didn't know the bar was even higher than staying sober. And here's the bar. You understand what I mean by the bar. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. This is after 15 years in AA, after some of the first 100 that were recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body went back to drinking and died. They realized there was another bar. And they wrote the 12 and 12. Because they saw that even though the first 164 pages are perfect, there could have more information in there for imperfect people, like steps 6 and 7. They needed more information. I'm not saying it's not perfect. It is perfect. But a guy like me gets to steps 6 and 7, only sees a paragraph. I'm moving on to 8. And guys like me died in the first 18 years. And then they wrote this book, the second book. And they put St. Francis' prayer in here. They attribute a Catholic priest by the name of Francis, Father Francis. They attribute him to this prayer. I don't know if he wrote this prayer, but we call it that. Where there's hatred, let me bring love. That where there is wrong, let me bring the spirit of forgiveness. That where there is disharmony, let me bring harmony. That where there is error, let me bring the truth. That where there is doubt, let me bring faith. That where there is despair, let me bring the hope. That where there are shadows, that I may bring light. That where there is sadness, let me put more sadness in. Let me judge you when you're sad. Let me make it the whole thing more sad. No. Where there's sadness, let me bring joy. You see, this whole entire thing turns around from a me program into a you program. And my responsibility shifts when I align my will with God. And God says, listen, this is not a selfish program anymore. People say, well, this is a selfish program. You get to this point, you're going to realize, like all these men do every week, if you stay selfish, you don't grow. You just get to stay selfish. Doesn't mean you aren't going to make millions. Doesn't mean you're not super successful. Doesn't mean people are not going to tell you you're great. But you know down deep inside if you're selfish. Because you know what? You're falling way below the bar of this 11-step prayer. Where there's sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. To understand than to be understood. To love than to be loved. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. And it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It's by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. You know, there's boundaries and there's selfishness. And those two lines can get very blurred. When we start saying, well, I'm just sticking to my boundaries. I just know my... Well, where is God in that equation? Where is the 11th step in there? And then there's going to be some ways that you're going to learn to get closer to God during prayer and meditation. And let's specifically want to talk about meditation because we don't talk about that much. And I have to do 2 steps tonight, so I'm going to go quickly. My meditation has evolved dramatically over the last 23 years, it'll be 23 years in 2 weeks, dramatically, because I've kept an open mind. Okay, even though I'm in the Christian faith, I can bring in all different types of meditation as long as I keep it focused on God. That means if someone brings in a mantra that, like I never heard of the fog hat prayer. I mean, who came up with that? The fog light prayer? I never heard of such a thing. So at first when I saw it, I'm like, what? There's no fog light prayer in Alcoholics Anonymous? And then, so the first week when I did it, I was like, I said it with disdain. You know, I'm like, fog light. And then I realized that what the big book says, contempt prior to investigation, that's going to keep me in everlasting ignorance. Maybe I should open my mind up that the fog light is God and that I needed to open my mind up to other prayers, because I certainly don't know all the prayers. And if I think I know all the prayers, then I'm certainly blocking out God. And then I started doing the fog light prayer differently. You bring a prayer to me that, oh, well, that doesn't, no. Hoot. Because I found out that I know much more. I found out that I know much less than I actually know, which is a really nice thing in humility. And I can learn from all of you, which is beautiful. And I don't have to be afraid of it. I don't have to be afraid of other people's belief systems. I listen, I take what I want, and if it helps me to get closer to the Creator, then I love that. So I know. So one of the ways in the last year and a half that myself and my partner that's here tonight and my mom and other people, we do this thing called breath work. And breath work gets me closer to God. I didn't know breath work was going to get me closer to God. When I first saw it, they had all these statues around and all this foofy stuff. I'm like, this looks like whack. But I did it. And then I realized when I was in breath work, I was able to see my Creator, my face of my Creator. No matter what anyone else was doing in there, I was able to get closer to God. Right, Stephen? And then I also do this stuff called cold plunging. That during that time I'm in a cold tub of negative whatever it is, in that time, in that 5 minutes that I do, it's just me and God. Because you don't have a lot of other things you can think about while you're freezing. It says, as beginners in meditation, we might now reread this prayer several times very slowly. You could do the 11-step prayer so many different ways, slowly, more slowly, digesting it. I do the Lord's Prayer, the Serenity Prayer, the long version of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as He did this sinful world as not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with the Creator forever in the next. The most incredible people I know have been through hardship. And as you guys are about to go through even more hardship, and my heart goes out for you, the Serenity Prayer tells us that it's through hardships that we learn the lessons of life. We don't learn the lessons of life at Jackson's Ice Cream Parlor ordering ice cream and everything's great and we're at the beach and everything's great. We learn the lessons in life when the tough times come. But here's the most incredible thing about this program. We have the people that came before us. We have the people that came before us that have been through the tough times. And you know what they tell us? You know what Charlie tells us? Don't worry. I've been there. We'll get to the other side together. That's seeking through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. And I see some of you crying. Don't worry. You're going to get through this. In the beginning, it's about hanging on to stay sober. But in the very quickly, it becomes so much more than that. You're going to develop a relationship with God, and in essence with that relationship with God, you're going to stay sober anyway, but you're going to have so much more. You know what I found out, and I shared this with you last week, and I always thought, because I was always looking for drugs or alcohol or sexual misbehavior, that serenity or peace or calmness was not having stress. But that's not true. We had stressful situations yesterday, right, Maxine? And I watched these women and men, Jerry, going in and out of this thing like the Matrix. It was incredible. Things weren't, boom, boom, whoo. It's not about not having stress. It's about having peace in the stress. And that's what the Creator does for us. And then when we get to this place where we're having a deeper personal relationship with the Creator of your understanding, don't start saying, well, you need to have a personal relationship with your Creator. You figure out who that is. In the beginning, sometimes it's the group of drunks, as I said. It's your meeting, and that's G-O-D. And then sometimes it's going to be good orderly direction, and your sponsor is part of that, and your support group is part of that, and your team is part of that. That's G-O-D, good orderly direction. But eventually, the big book says that although in the beginning, however inadequate your belief system in God is, it doesn't matter. It's going to evolve if you stay long enough. Hopefully, eventually, you're going to get to God, the creator of the universe, the spirit of the universe, whatever that is for you. And I don't need to bash yours as long as it's working for you. But then it's going to get us to this place where we realize that sometimes at the end of the night, we didn't do such a great job. That we owe amends. We were selfish. We were self-seeking. We were dishonest. And we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to fix that immediately. Different than step 10. This is about fixing the things we're doing wrong through our Creator so that when we go into tomorrow morning, we're not bringing all that garbage into tomorrow morning. And it says, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which we should have been discussed with another person at once? Don't try to put new garbage into the system. Were we kind and loving towards all? Today I had a darn good day. Today was a kind and loving day. Even when I found out that my mom is taking us away on a vacation this week, which I'm so grateful for. She's the best mom in the world. And she had told half the family, the other half of the family, that we were going to take pictures in a certain outfit color and didn't tell my family about that color. And when I found out about it, I'm like, hey, what about, you know, we didn't know anything about it. And I said to my mom, like it was a joke, of course. I said, Mom, you know, you told everybody that they were going to wear white, but we didn't know about the white. And she said to me, oh, I forgot. And then I said to her, right in that moment, I said to her, you know what? No big deal. You know, all these things obviously are no big deals, but I got to tell you something. There's really no big deals anymore. Were we kind and loving towards all? The things that we used to think were big deals, they're not big deals. The thing that you thought was the deal breaker, it's not the deal breaker. It doesn't need to be the deal breaker. When you have God as the top ideal, everything else can be worked out. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. What do I need to do better, God? And hopefully, you're going to get a list of things that you could do better without beating yourself up. Raise your hand if you feel like during this holiday season you could have done stuff better. Great. There's more work to do. For the people that had the perfect holiday season, great. There's more work to do. See, the good news about this is great. There's more work to do. This whole thing is based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition today. And this points us into this place where we're going to want more. And when we want more, we're going to get to do more. And it's going to bring us right to the 12th step, which is the whole program is about giving back. Everything we do here, everything we're learning here, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we practice these principles in all our affairs, and we carry this message to people that need it. This is the entire program. I don't do step series, and we don't do step series because it's an ego thing involved. Whoever is up here feels exactly the same way. We've been given a new life, number one. Number two, we've been set free. Number three, we know the truth, and the truth has set us free. And number four, we just feel like we want to go telling everybody about it, which is the Great Commission of Alcoholics Anonymous. Henrietta, the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to go tell everybody about it. That's how this whole thing started. The reason we're here tonight, I mean, people like Peter and Michael and Maddie and Paul and Karina and Nancy and Kelly, they all laid the path for us, but we're not here because of them. We're here as a result of two men that listened to the call that God gave them that they needed to go find alcoholic number three or they were not going to be able to keep what they had. And they desperately went out and found alcoholic number three. And then we got to have all this in here. If they did not listen to the call, if they did not see that they needed to carry this step to the next person, that they carry this program to the next person, we may not be here. People say, well, if it did, no, I mean, God has a way to, I mean, if it wasn't Bill and Bob, it would have been Joe and Charlie or Nancy and Kelly. He would have got us here. But these two men did answer the call. And they listened to what God had to say. And they found Bill Dotson, alcoholic number three. And they went to the hospital room. And they sat on the edge of the bed. And they pulled out the Bible. And they said, this is what we believe in. That God is the answer to all our problems today. And when we have an answer, would you like to follow us? And the guy said, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Then they got up from the bed. And they said, well, and we're going to take this somewhere else. And he got up from his bed. And he said, wait. I'll do it. And this is how we got here. Isn't that amazing? You don't seem that impressed. I think a lot of you had a lot of carbohydrates during the holidays. And you look like you've been eating a lot of carbohydrates. Okay? Especially that section there. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all affairs. Are we going to do this perfectly? No, we're going to try to do it. I have a real hard time listening to people that think they know everything about the program. Do you realize that God changes every single second of every single moment in your brain, and the program that you thought you had 5 minutes ago could change in a nanosecond? How big is your God? My God changes thoughts in my head every single moment, and I'm so glad he does. I'm so glad the information that I had last month is different than the information I have this month. I'm so glad he introduced me to a person today. What is his name? Malt? What is your name? Malt?
Mart.
Mart. I met Mart tonight. First man. I'm 57 years old. I've never met a Mart before tonight, and I met Mart tonight. I did not know Mart an hour ago. I know him now. Are you from down here, Mart? From Nashville. Let's welcome Mart from Nashville. Now, you all know him. You cannot not know him. He's probably the only Mart that you've met other than Kmart or Walmart or any of the Marts. That's a big deal. We're constantly moving. We're constantly learning. We're constantly getting new information. If you have the same information that you had from 5 years ago, if your story has not changed, if you're still telling the same story at the podium and nothing has gotten added to it, shame on you. This is an ever-evolving, exciting program, and the enthusiasm should be coming up inside you, and when people are around you, this is what they should want to do. Get to another meeting, listen to more information, be around you, hang out with you, and they should say to you, what are you doing during the week? If the only people that hang around with you are you, you're going to get very stale quickly. The 12th step tells us that this is the joy of living. You know, I'm not saying that there's a lot of Christians in here. You don't need to be a Christian, but there's a story in the Bible I just want to share with you. Jesus healed 10 lepers. And leprosy at the time was the worst disease that you can have of all time. It was so bad that leper people had to go live in a leper colony, a separate place. If you got leprosy, which is a true disease, and it's still around today, a couple places still has leprosy. You had to live apart from your family. You could never go back with them again. It was the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And Jesus sees this group of lepers that are coming towards him, and everybody starts shouting at the lepers, turn back, turn back, don't come this way. And they weren't allowed to. They had to shout in advance. But they asked Jesus for mercy, and according to the Bible, Jesus healed all 10 of them. It was a big deal. All 10 of them were healed. They could go back to their families. They could leave the leper colony. They could go back to work. 9 of them went back to the families. One of them returned. When he found Jesus, he said, thank you so much for saving me. And he got down on his hands and feet, and he begged him. He said, I'm just so grateful. I don't know what to do with myself. And Jesus said, but weren't there 10? How come only one returned? I want to tell you something. In Alcoholics Anonymous, you don't want to be the 9 lepers that go and do their life. You want to be the one that was healed and comes back and does what the people that we follow do. They have gratitude. The 12th step is for people without gratitude. Meetings get set up because of gratitude. This meeting got set up because of gratitude. I'm not sure if Peter did it or Michael did it, but this meeting doesn't just happen. There's systems in place and rents that need to be paid and chairs that need to be put down and banners that are put up. And it's all because of gratitude. And how will you know if you have gratitude? You'll know because the 12th step is not going to be arduous, which means it's not going to be something where you're just like hanging in there and, oh, I got to go pick a guy up for a meeting, or I got to sponsor a person, or I got to go to another meeting. If you had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, you can't wait to give out your phone number. You can't wait to get to the next meeting. I remember my sponsor, Russell, they were asking him, a newcomer was asking him at Denny's. We used to go to this place called Denny's. I don't know if you've heard of it. And before the Floridian. And the guy that was brand new, he said to Russell, but what do you guys do for fun? And Russell said, we do this for fun. We drink coffee in diners because we have an amazing time. He goes, but what are you doing tomorrow night? We're doing this again tomorrow night. But what do you do on the weekends? We got the old timers at the 12th. So this is what we do. Are we putting on a show? No. A spiritual awakening is going to happen as the result of working these steps that we shared with you the last 6 weeks. A spiritual awakening is going to happen. It happens across the board for people that work this program. The big book says that God is not a respecter of persons, which means Jerry's not his favorite. I'm not his favorite. Everyone is his favorite. He does not make hard terms for those that seek him. So our job is to seek him out. And are you going to get what I got? Absolutely. There is nobody in here that was worse than me. Now, I'm sure there was people as worse as me, but I was pretty bad. I told you my first week here that the Fort Lauderdale Hospital is where I spent 2001 four times. That's a psychiatric hospital on the same street that we have this meeting here. I relapsed after having 7 years because I thought that I could take a drink because I wasn't a pure alcoholic. And I didn't think that alcohol would ever bring me back to drugs. I was wrong. And I found out that if I did drugs, it would bring me back to alcohol. The whole thing is will bring me back. I found out that during that year of 2001, during my relapse, that my wife, who joined the program of Al-Anon and became strong, separate than being with me, she pointed me to a halfway house through the Department of Corrections. She pointed me towards a halfway house. It's called restraining order. And I went to that halfway house. Not happy, and my parents had to come out of retirement. They were already retired. They had to come down and help save our lives because we were a newly married couple 24 years ago, and I relapsed and destroyed everything. Did I think that I'd be standing here 23 years later at the podium of Alcoholics Anonymous with you fine people? Of course not. I hated the very idea of having to come here, a young, sharp kid like me. I hated the very idea that I had alcoholism. I hated the very idea that I could not take any substance safely without it taking me and bringing me to a hospital or a jail or an institution. But it turns out that it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It turns out that not only does God have a plan for everybody that's a mess, but he has a message for everybody that's a mess. It turns out that the test that God has turns out to be our testimony. And there's many people in this room that as a result of my sobriety have been affected by my sobriety because I went and started meetings and started halfway houses and started programs and went to other meetings, and I was excited about it. I was excited to tell people what God had done. And that excitement that I have transfers to other people, and they're excited, and they go and tell other people about it. And why is that? It's the principle of the ninth leper. It's the principle of the one that returns. It's the principle of the Lord has been so wonderful to me, curing me of this terrible disease, that I just want to go telling people about it. I bet you that our friend that when he goes back to Tennessee, or how long he's going to be down here, I bet you he's going to remember this meeting. I bet you that our friends that are visiting here for the first time tonight, they're gonna, whether they like the talk or not, they're going to say, that guy was enthusiastic. I don't know where he was looking, but he was looking around the room. And he was very enthusiastic. I'm not even sure if I agree with the guy was saying, but it's working for him. And he said that the answers are in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 and 12. And he said that the 12 and 12 in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and a relationship with God changed his life. And his mother was there, and his mother was in love with him, and his dad used to come to every single meeting, and his dad loved him, and his dad couldn't stand my voice before Alcoholics Anonymous. He said, I used to speak just to hear myself speak, and he told me to stop speaking. He didn't want to hear it. And my dad left planet Earth in love with me. I don't mean in love with me like I'm the greatest thing. He loved having me as his son. He said to me before he passed away, he said, Stephen, you're a star, and everything you do is going to be great. Doesn't mean I was going to be the president of the United States. It didn't mean, thank God, it didn't mean that I was going to do great things in the business world. But he knew I was going to go out and spread the message. And as long as I stay in right spiritual footing, as long as I continue to do this thing that we have right here, love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves, as long as we continue to do that, those are the two great commissions, then everything else is just going to come forward naturally. Organically. It's not going to be effort. Someone's going to say, hey, can you go set up a room? And you're going to say yes. And they say, would you come and speak? Yes. Can you drive a van? Yes. Would you like to join institutions with Thomas? Yes. Can you take a meeting into a detox where nobody's going to be grateful to see you except maybe one person in between? They're drooling over their Suboxone. And you're going to do it. Because when you leave that meeting, when you leave that meeting, you'll know that you're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, there's no big shots. There's not one person that is any higher than another person except member. I'm a member. You're a member. We serve the greatest God. He's the one that created this program. And he's given us this incredible program of the 12 steps. Dr. Bob said he did it for five reasons that he carried the 12 step. And I'm sure we ran out of time, but I want to just tell you those five reasons. One is he said is a sense of duty. That Dr. Bob is the co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you don't know. It's a sense of duty. He said because it's his pleasure. He said because every time he takes this message to another man or woman in Alcoholics Anonymous, it ensures his sobriety. He also said it's fun. And he also said that for the people that don't take this message to other people, he said, I feel sorry for them. He said, Dr. Bob, you feel what? How do you feel about people that don't go to meetings? You know what he said? You know what he said, Matty. He said, I feel sorry for them. And you know what? I feel sorry for them too, because they're missing this incredible thing that we have. This is not going to be extra work. This is going to be what you live for in addition to having a great family and have a relationship with God and have a relationship with your friends and doing all that stuff. We get to also do this. What am I doing this weekend? I'm going to do this. What am I doing next week? I'm going to do this. God willing, I'll see you guys at the International Convention. And Michael, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for having me these last 6 weeks. God bless you guys.
Man on fire. Another round of applause. Stevie B, we got one of these important mugs for you for coming up and speaking for us the last 6 weeks. Absolutely phenomenal, and you're part of the group now, baby. Thank come on up
you.
And get
it. It's been an honor, really. Thank you guys.
Okay, so. At the end of the meeting, you can line up down the center and congratulate Stevie for his last 6 weeks of talk and get to know him a little bit better. And we're going to close seated with the Lord's Prayer. Who keeps us sober today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah. Ooh. God is here. as they can. I am desperately in need of restoration.
Yes, the sun goes. trying. You bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy again. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope the world will smile for you.
Michael Chase. Here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? I've worked so hard for someone I don't know.
Shut up.